think he almost said that other guy's name, but I think he almost said that other guy's name. Well, good evening. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I do thank you for coming out this evening. I'm going to be talking to us this evening, one, about a dream and the interpretation that was given of the dream, and then about prayer and our attitudes, and why sometimes it seems like our prayers are answered almost immediately, and then why it seems like it could take days or weeks or months or years to get a prayer answered, and then sometimes not at all. And so we're going to be going over that. But first, I would like to share the dream with you first. And this was a dream that was given to our brother A.J. Berwick. And he has written it down. He sent it to me in an email. And he says, "The dream started with myself and two male companions in a house out in the country. As we were standing inside the house, we heard gunfire, screams, explosions, and other sounds of chaos in the distance. We all ran outside to see what was going on. It was night outside, but it was bright, like there was a full moon. There was a fenced-in yard with a blacktop road a short distance away. In the distance was a city where all the sounds were coming from. It appeared that several buildings were on fire, and as we stood watching, it looked as though an army attack helicopter flew overhead toward the city. I looked down toward the paved road and noticed several pickup trucks driven by monsters with soldiers in the back. They stopped below where we were standing. Myself and one of my companions dropped flat on the ground so we wouldn't be seen, and the other guy ran inside the house and retrieved a duffel bag full of guns and came out and dumped it out on the ground beside us. We armed ourselves, and I sighted through the scope of my rifle toward the enemy and opened fire. As I looked to see the effect of my gunfire, I realized that while my scope was over the top of the fence post, in front of me, the barrel of the gun wasn't, so I had shot the fence post. When I noticed this, I said out loud, 'Well, that was useless.' I then heard a noise and turned around to see a monster on a white horse had ridden up behind us, and my companions were already on their knees surrendering. Since I had a gun in my hands, I opened fire at the monster, and the bullets just poked holes in the creature like he was plastic, and it did no damage. The creature turned and looked at me and said, 'Stop that, it's annoying.' I dropped my weapon and started running away from the creature. At this point, my dream jumped forward to me entering a different house to hide from the enemy. As I was going to find a place to hide, a large, heavy-set man with a beard passed by me and was headed to open the door and let in the enemy. I turned as he passed me, and I snapped his neck and continued on to find a place to hide. I found an interior closet, went in and closed the door. I looked up and realized that the closet was made of lattice work, and there was a light on above my head, so I was in plain sight. I looked out toward the closet door and saw a creature standing there looking at me with a wicked smile on its face. I looked toward the floor, kind of like if I couldn't see it, it couldn't see me. The creature looked triumphant and reached for the door. The dream paused, and suddenly I was clothed in luminescent armor with a shield and sword. I looked up at the creature, and now it looked shocked. Then I punched through the door with my shield into the monster. The dream jumped to me, watching myself clothed in armor with sword in hand, walking back toward the way I had come, with a house burning in the background." That was the dream that was given to AJ. He was given some of the interpretation of the dream, and when he was telling us the dream that night at prayer service, I asked God that if it be his will, that he would give me an interpretation of the dream, that I would be able to give it to AJ. And he did. Starts out, AJ and these two men were in this house. And they heard the explosions and the sound of warfare outside, and they ran out. And AJ and the other guy dropped down to hide, and the other guy ran back in and got the guns and came out, and AJ grabbed a rifle and sighted down at the enemy, these other men that were coming out of this truck. And he was sure they were his enemy. And so he shot at them. Well, he shot the fence post instead. And the reason is he was in this house, but it was, even though it was out in the country, it was still close enough to the city that it was affected. Okay? There was a blacktop road down at the end of the driveway. And even though there was a fence around the yard, they weren't protected. The enemy that he thought that he was shooting at was not his enemy. Those were human beings. The enemy that he should have been shooting at was the monster on the white horse behind him. Okay. The other two men had already surrendered to the monster on the white horse. That monster was Satan. Now, Satan has always wanted to be God, and that's why he appeared in this dream on this white horse, because he wanted to look like God. But even though he was on a white horse, he still looked like a monster because he's Satan. You cannot disguise Satan. He's still Satan. Okay? He's not God. And you cannot defeat Satan with a physical weapon. So when AJ took these shots at the monster, it had no effect on him. And it was annoying. It was annoying to Satan. So then AJ started running, and he found another place to hide. Well, it was given to me that the house that he ran to was actually his own house. And when he went in the house and he was looking for a place to hide, and he saw this other fellow that AJ told me, he said he was bigger and he had a beard and he looked, you know, he was just more. And he realized that this man was going to let the enemy in to his house. Okay. What it was that was a representation of AJ leaning on the arm of flesh. You know, it's someone you might look up to, someone that looks like they have more authority than you, or they're just bigger and more muscular than you. You know, you're leaning on the arm of flesh. And AJ in the dream realized that he had to stop that, because if he didn't stop that, that arm of flesh was going to let the enemy into his house. And so that man had to die. He had to stop relying on man, and he had to put his trust and faith in God to protect him from the enemy. The place that he was looking to hide, it was a closet. Okay? When we rely on God, he tells us that we're to pray to him at all times. But in times of trouble, in times of need, we go into our closets. We do it in secret. Okay? We are not standing out in front of a big group of people. We're not standing out in front of the world praying to God. We're praying to God just one-on-one. You and God, myself and God. There's no one else around, and we're in our closet. But even though you're in your closet, when you pray in God to secret, he hears you, because he knows that what's in your heart is right. You have the right attitude, the right frame of mind when it's just between you and him and there's no one else there and you're praying to him. You're being sincere and he knows it. Okay? And when he sees that, he knows this child is mine. This is a Christian. This is a true Christian praying to me. And just like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, you cannot hide a true Christian, no matter where he is, whether he's in a closet or whether he's out in the world. You can't hide a true Christian from anyone because the light of Christ will shine forth from him in all that they do. So even though AJ was in this closet, in this house, it appeared like to him he was standing in a closet made out of lattice work, and the monster could still see him. And yeah, he could, because you can't hide a true Christian. And as he was doing this, and as he was praying, God touched him. And AJ was clothed in the armor of righteousness. He had the armor of God put on him because of the attitude that was in his heart. You know, the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, the sword of truth. He had all of those things put on him because he was being a true Christian at the time. And so when that happened, then the demon, because it was a demon at that point in the dream, it was no longer Satan, but it was one of his angels that had come into the house to get to AJ. That angel got the surprised look on his face because he didn't see it until it was too late that AJ was a Christian, and AJ was able to defeat him. Okay, and it's only when you put on this armor and you're doing it the way you're supposed to do it, you're actually being a Christian, that you can go forth out into the world again into battle as a true Christian. And we battle with our actions. Not so much our words. Most of the time it's with our actions. How we treat people, how we do our jobs, how we our mannerisms. You know, it's our attitude. It's what's in our heart. That's how we defeat Satan. And you do it all the time. So this dream was given to AJ. But really, when you think about it, it's for each and every one of us. We are in a battle. We're in the world. Just like AJ was in the world in that first house with the other two men, they were part of the world. And they realized there's a battle going on. And they wanted to see, and they wanted to partake in the battle. They wanted to defeat the evil. But the enemy is not humanity. Okay. Those people out there that you think of as the enemy, they're not our enemy. Those are our relatives. They're our long-distant cousins, all the way back to Adam. Okay? That's not who we're fighting against. We're supposed to be fighting for those people. The people, those men that came in the pickup truck, we're supposed to be fighting for them. For their soul salvation. And so we need to change our focus on what looks like our enemy to our true enemy. And the true enemy is Satan and his angels, his demons. Okay? So that's the interpretation that was given to me by God. And it was for AJ, but it's also for all of us. We need to realize who our true enemy is and focus on that. And we need to put on the armor of God. And the only way to do that is to be a true Christian at all times. Okay, you know, the other thing is about prayer. We had a study Monday night, and one of the questions that came up was, why is it that sometimes your prayers are answered right away, and why is it sometimes you have to fast and pray it takes a long time for the prayers to be answered. And you know, what is that? And so they asked about it, and they wanted to know, in the book of Daniel, if you will open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter. Well, no, let's stop. Let's go to the second book of Nephi first. We'll go to the third chapter of the second book of Nephi. It's on, I don't know what page it is. I'll find it in a moment. Chapter 3, 2 Nephi, chapter 3, verse 57. Okay, this is kind of where AJ was in the dream, and this also has to do with prayer. Because Nephi is actually praying. I believe it's Nephi, maybe it's Jacob. No, it's Nephi. It's on page 94, second book of Nephi, third chapter. It's the 57th verse, and this is about halfway through the prayer, but he says in this, it says, O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? That's what AJ was looking for. Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. So that might have been some of the stuff AJ was praying about in his dream, but it was there in his dream. It was not to put his trust in the arm of flesh, that big brawny bearded guy that you would have thought would have known what was right, and he goes to open the front door. He's going to let the evil into the house. Okay? The arm of flesh. But you have to ask the right way. You have to have the right attitude in your heart for these prayers to be answered. And sometimes they're answered right away, and sometimes it takes a long time. But let's go ahead and go to the book of Daniel now, the 10th chapter. And in this chapter, Daniel has been shown a lot of different things. He's had a lot of different things happen in his life from God. He's been given visions. He's been saved by God in the lion's den. All these different things have happened to him. And in this chapter, he's trying to figure out what to do to help his people, because he knows that there's this problem coming. They're in the land of Persia, and they know that they're going to be persecuted. And he's been shown this, and he's trying to figure out, well, when is it going to happen? So he decided to pray and ask God. Okay, he wanted to help someone else. He was not doing it for his own benefit. He was trying to help his people. First verse. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So basically, it says he was mourning, but he was fasting. He was fasting from the world, from the pleasant things of the world. He wasn't eating good tasting food and, you know, oh, what are you going to have tonight? Let's have pizza. No, it was not pleasant. It was just something enough to stay alive. He wasn't eating any meat. You know, he might have been eating crackers and broccoli, or, you know, it wasn't a gourmet meal. He wasn't drinking any wine. He was just, you know, probably just water. For 21 days, he was doing this. And it says, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He wasn't even concerned about the welfare of his body. You know, in those days, you didn't bathe very often because that was a luxury, but you would anoint your body with oils and your hair with oil and everything so you wouldn't get all dry and crusty and nasty. So Daniel was probably pretty rank, maybe, all right? But it was not a pleasant state to be in, but he was doing it for a reason, to stay focused on trying to figure out how to help his people. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So this being appears to Daniel. 21 days. You know, and when I read this, I'm like, why did it take so long? You know, and Curtis, is that you back there in the booth? Yeah. You can title it, "This is Taking Forever." Okay? That's the name of the sermon. This is Taking Forever. It didn't make any sense to me when I'm reading this. Why did it take so long? Why did he have to fast for 21 days? I mean, this is Daniel, the prophet. You know, this guy knows God. He's been talked to by God many times. He's been saved by God. You know, all these things. Why did it take so long for Daniel's prayer to be answered? Well, we find out. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. So this angel appears to Daniel. There's a whole bunch of other men with him. They're out by the river, fasting and praying. I don't know if the rest of them were fasting with Daniel or they were just there for the day or what, but they were all out there by the river. Daniel might have been out there because his wife said, "Yeah, you need to go outside." Maybe he stunk too much, I don't know, but he was out there. And when this happens, the rest of the men ran away because it was too scary. But Daniel, actually, he fell down onto the ground. And then when the angel spoke, he passed out onto the ground. Okay? And so here he is, he's on the ground, and verse 10 it says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he gets back up on his hands and knees after this angel touches him. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. He's telling Daniel, God knows what's in your heart. You are beloved by God because of your attitude, because of what's in your heart, how you feel towards the rest of humanity, you know, what's in your heart for your people, the reason you're doing this, God loves you, okay? He was doing it the right way. for the right reason. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So he stands up. Then said he unto me, then the angel, he starts to speak to Daniel. He tells him, he says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, the very first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." On day one of Daniel's fast, God heard his prayer and sent this angel to Daniel. On day one, the angel was sent on his way. Verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 20 days. So for 21 days, this angel had been fighting against the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And that didn't make any sense to me either. I was like, this is an angel of God sent on a mission by God to go to one of his holy prophets, and a prince of Persia is fighting against him for 21 days and has got him all tied up in this little battle? Come on, but read a little bit further. It says, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Okay, an angel sent by God is in a battle for 21 days with a supposed prince of Persia. But one of the other princes, his name is Michael, an angel from heaven, the archangel Michael, was sent by God to help this angel who had been told by God to go talk to Daniel, who got waylaid by one of Satan's angels, a prince of Persia. Okay? One of Satan's angels was fighting with one of God's angels and stopping him from going and talking to Daniel for 21 days until God sent Michael to go and help this angel get the job done. For 14. "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb." So it was explained to Daniel why it took so long. There were things that were going on behind the scenes that Daniel had no idea of that was causing a delay in the answer to the prayer. Angels were fighting against the demons of Satan, the fallen angels, trying to get God's will done and doing what God had commanded them to do. And you think, well, okay, it's still an angel from heaven. And an angel of Satan, how could that last 21 days? Think back to the time of Jacob. Jacob, he's there, he falls asleep, and he sees a vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder from earth to heaven. Okay? And then he gets a bright idea he's going to wrestle an angel because he wants a blessing. So he grabs one of these angels and he starts to wrestle him. And I can't remember if it was a day and a half or two whole days, but it was a length of time that this human wrestled an angel. So if a human can wrestle an angel for a day and a half to 2 days, how much more could a fallen angel get in a fight with an angel from heaven and hold up the works? It's possible. It can happen. That's what the angel was telling Daniel. Ran into some trouble on the way. God sent some more help, sent out one of the big guns, and he's taking care of that. I'm here, but I'm going to go back. 15, sorry. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb." Couldn't speak anymore. "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So Daniel had an archangel, Michael, as his guardian angel, so to speak. Now, we as ordinary human beings, you know, I'm not Daniel, and I don't know of any Daniel as a prophet. Daniel, I mean, I know there's Daniel back there, and my sister Danielle, different spelling. But we're just normal people. And when we're praying and we're asking God for a blessing, and sometimes he gives it to us right away, and then sometimes it takes a long time, just remember this. God is doing the things that he wants done in the entire world. Okay? And we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it might explain to you why at times it seems to take so long to get your prayers answered. Sometimes it's a straight shot. Nobody gets in the way. No problem. Go get it done. And bam, it's done. Almost instantaneous. Other times it seems to take forever. Sometimes he says no. I'm not going to answer that prayer. It's not what I want. So let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. And we're going to talk about attitudes. A lot of you know this already. Some of you, this might be something new. But it's important that we go over it. Isaiah 58, the first verse, says, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Okay, he's talking to us, our sins, our attitudes. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. That's us. I mean, we do that on a daily basis. We delight in God. We delight in going to God in prayer and all of this stuff. But for Isaiah, he was told to tell the people there's something wrong here. You're doing what it says, but there's still something wrong. Third verse, Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Remember what Daniel did? He did not do that. He wasn't finding pleasure. He wasn't working at the job. He took time off. Took time off from life, and he was focused solely on God in his fast. Okay? He wasn't, in verse 4 it says, Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Daniel wasn't doing that. He was fasting for something that was right. He wasn't fasting to make himself look better than anyone else and answer everybody's questions and show off and say that I'm better than anyone else. I'm the guy to go to. No, he was doing it to help people with the right attitude. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Don't do that. Don't appear to fast in front of everybody else and you know, show off and go, yeah, you know, this is day 16 and I haven't eaten anything for 16 days and I just drank a little water every day and yeah, I'm doing it right. No, you've got the wrong attitude. Okay? Daniel wasn't doing that. He wasn't showing off. I mean, he did tell us he got answered in 21 days, but there was a reason behind him telling us, because the angel told him. Sorry it took so long. Okay? Is not this the fast that I have, this is verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Okay. Physically, he's being told, this is how you should be fasting. This is an acceptable fast. To go out to the people and give them the things that they need physically. But also there's a spiritual side to this. Loose the bands of wickedness spiritually. To undo the heavy burdens of the guilt of sin. Bring people to repentance. Okay? Let them know that you can be forgiven of your sins. To let the oppressed go free. Those that have been oppressed by sin, set them free from it. That you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Feed them spiritually. And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. This house. You bring those people that are feeling this way to this house. The house of God. To set them free. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. Cover them in the robes of righteousness. Let them know that there's something else that they can put on besides the filthy rags of sin. And you do this. You do all these things through your attitude. What's in your heart? As you're fasting, you go out into the world and you appear like you're not fasting, but you feed those people and you clothe those people with righteousness. You give them the bread of Jesus Christ. You feed them with his word through your actions. And you bring them here. Verse 8. Then, just like it was with AJ in the closet, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. Remember, Rusty, this morning, three fingers are pointing back at me. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. The light of Christ will just burst forth from you if you have the right attitude and you're doing it the right way. Excuse me. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. You're going to help firm up the foundation of the church because of your attitude. You know, it's going to make it stronger. It's going to make it better. If we change our attitudes, if we focus on our true enemy, which is Satan, and not the rest of humanity or even amongst ourselves. We're all in this together. Here in this building and the people out in the world, we're here together in life. And we need to help each other. And we can do it. The repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Yeah, I fasted. I didn't eat anything for a whole day before conference. You know, I fasted before conference. You know, I listened to the radio, I watched TV, I read some good books, you know, but I fasted. No. That's the wrong attitude. And it's the wrong way of doing it. Were you trying to help people? Were you trying to feed people? Were you praying for people? Are you just fasting for your own raising up, your own edification, that things will be done your way? It's the wrong type of fast. But if you do it the right way, it says, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know, turn to James. And I was not real surprised when Rusty went to James this morning. And I was rather pleased that he did, because I already knew I was going here. Fourth chapter of James. I'm going to just read the first three verses. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your lust that war in your members. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Remember the dream? AJ was willing to fight right from the beginning. And so were the others that were with him. They were willing to fight. You know, almost everybody's willing to fight if they think it's for a cause. But the attitude. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. The attitude was wrong. And AJ had to go back. He had to go back to home, to base, to start the beginning and change his attitude and not rely upon man or the world or anyone else out there but God himself. And when he did that, then he was clothed in the armor of God, and then he could go out and fight and do it right. He was able to defeat the demon right outside the closet door. But he had to change the way he was thinking. Had to change what was in his heart. He had to do it in righteousness. Turn to Psalms, the 66th Psalm. Verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. That's what Daniel was telling us. I fasted and prayed for 21 days, and this is what God did. I didn't realize that angels were fighting for me, but he let us know what God did for him. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I have sin in me, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Get rid of the sin in your life. You want God to answer your prayers, get rid of the sin. Be righteous. 3 Nephi, 8th chapter. It's on page 651 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start at verse 50. This is Jesus Christ. He'd been speaking to the people. They had had sacrament served to them, and he's talking to them. And he's telling them, verse 49, he says, Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. I want you to do what I've done. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, just like he wanted to get AJ, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. So you pray unto the Father. You do it in the name of Christ. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, or not amiss, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and children, your children may be blessed. Okay? Pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, for that which is right, and do it not amiss. Believe in it. Believe in God, okay? Do it that way, and he says, I'll answer your prayers. If it's right, if the prayer is right, I'll answer it, okay? I'm not going to say that I'm going to answer immediately, or it might be 21 days, or it might be a year later. But I will answer the prayer if you do it that way, and it's right, for something that God wants done. He'll answer it. But if he doesn't want it done, then he's not going to answer the prayer. And if he doesn't, should you change your attitude and go, that's it, I'm done? God didn't answer my prayer, so forget the whole thing. I was good, I was righteous, I had the right attitude, and he still didn't answer my prayer, so I'm done. And God's going, if you'd have waited another 25 minutes, the angel was going to be right there, but you're done. Be patient. And if he doesn't answer it ever, thank him for it, because obviously it wasn't going to be good for you. Let's go back to Isaiah, the 59th chapter of Isaiah. Start at verse 16. Okay, it says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression, and Jacob, saith the Lord. If you have the right attitude, God will come and fight for you, and he'll clothe you in his armor, and you'll be able to stand up in front of the enemy and slay them. You will be able to defeat Satan and his angels if you do it the right way, if you get the right attitude in your heart, not for your own honor and glory, but for the glory of God, to bring other people to salvation, to set them free from sin. Chapter 60. Well, no, we'll just finish verse 21. We're going to finish this and then go into chapter 60. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. What are the promises that were given to the people that wrote these books? God promised them that if they maintain their righteousness, the blessings that he wanted to give them would not ever depart from them, nor from their children, nor from their children's children, as long as they kept this in their hearts. And the same goes for us. We can receive those same blessings. Chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Those other two men in the house, they wanted to fight, but they had the wrong weapons. AJ got the right weapon. And those men, if they'd have seen AJ, they would have flocked to him. Because they would have seen that here's someone who knows how to defeat Satan, who knows how to defeat this monster on the white horse. AJ could have helped them, because he had a change of attitude. He no longer trusted in the arm of flesh to tell him what was right and what was wrong. He went to God, and he did it the right way. He prayed to him in earnestness, in secret, in a closet where he didn't think anyone could see him. And God heard his prayer and he answered it. Moroni, the 7th chapter. Verse 27. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because that Christ hath ascended into heaven and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men? For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. It didn't stop with Daniel. It didn't stop with Christ. It didn't stop with Joseph Smith. There are people in this church that have angels come and visited them and ministered unto them and told them marvelous things that were going to happen. People in this church have seen visions that have come to pass. People in this church have been given dreams from God. And those dreams came to pass. Prayers for healings in this church have been answered many times, over and over again. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, not our command, but God's command, shewing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. He appeared to Daniel, but the other men that were with him beside the river couldn't take it. They physically could not handle it, and they had to run away. Daniel had a different attitude, a different strength of belief. And we've each one of us in this room have had that belief, that firmness at one point or another, and sometimes we keep it for a long time, and then sometimes it gets shaken. But I know that you've all had your prayers answered before. And think about it. Think about the attitude that was in your heart. Think about the belief that you had in the prayers being offered. You know, my daughter Savannah, when she was just a little girl, was so scared of all kinds of stuff. She had to go through a whole lot of physical pain just to stay alive. And at night, it was even worse. And we would pray for her, and we would do all kinds of stuff for her that she'd be able to sleep through the night. And we would get her administered to, and my wife would sleep with her for weeks every night, rubbing her legs and her muscles and everything that she'd be able to sleep. And one night, Savannah slept through the entire night without us having to do anything for her. And we got up the next morning, and we went down to their bedroom, and we woke them up, and we said, Savannah, we're thinking, what did you dream about last night? You know, and I'm thinking, man, it must have been wonderful, because she never woke up. She never cried out for help. She said, Daddy, I didn't dream about anything. I was scared last night, just like always. And I prayed like you said to pray. And Jesus came, and he sat down right here by my bed. And he told me, Savannah, you don't have to be afraid tonight. I'm going to be here right by your bed all night long, and I will not leave. And whenever you wake up and open your eyes, you'll see me, and you will have nothing to be afraid of. And she said, Daddy, he was there all night. Every time I opened my eyes, he was right there, sitting by my bed. She had a prayer of faith as a child. The faith of a child. And he answered that prayer.
Shewing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men. That's what that angel was doing with Daniel. To prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. That was Daniel. That was Rusty this morning. That's what we've been called to do as ministers. Declare the word of Christ unto the people. And we've all been called to do that. As children of the house of Israel, we are all to be his holy priests, declaring the word of Christ unto the entire world through our actions, through our attitude, what's in our heart. Each and every one of us has that responsibility. Not just me, not just Rusty, and not just Daniel, but all of us have been called to do that. 24/7. That they may bear testimony of him, and by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ. Everyone outside, even those that you think are your enemy, you do it for them. That they may have faith in Christ. That the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent all ye ends of the earth and come unto me and be baptized in my name and have faith in me that ye may be saved. Thank you.